Hey everybody, welcome back. We are having another exciting episode on Last Christian, and just like last week, we were talking about the giants, and we are going to continue to talk about them because there's a lot in there, despite what people think. You know, in Genesis, they think, oh, it's only in Genesis chapter 6, right in the beginning there, but it's actually not. It's all over the place. And you can see behind me, that's a picture of me in 40 years reading these same books. So, JD, why don't you join me?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. Why don't you pray us into the show? Because this is going to be exciting. I think the giants are they're a pivotal point in the history of the earth and why Jesus came and everything surrounding it. So to dismiss the idea of the giants is ludicrous. Well, let's
go. It really is. But okay. Father, we ask that you please guide us in this mission as we look for that last Christian, that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. We know that time is short, Father, and David is preparing now to give a teaching on what you have told us is our future, and that is, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end times be. And we ask, Father, please, to allow that those individuals who need to hear this message to tune in and listen carefully, and we hope then that the Holy Spirit takes over and will guide them all the way to salvation, where they can join us at that glorious moment of the rapture, or at least during our time in heaven. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. There's so many things that we could talk about, like Psalm 82. There's 1 John, the sons of God. What does that mean? All these different things. But I forgot where we left off. Where did we leave off?
Well, I don't know. But look, I'm just going to stop you right off the top, okay? Because like you said, this is really extensive, and I don't think that Christians really realize just how extensive that this really is. So
we're important.
Hang on a second. Yep. I got to find my question.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read Psalm 82, and then you're going to really see. Now we see in the beginning of Job. Everybody knows Job, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we know that. There was a council. There's a whole council. They're talking about it. Satan comes in and says, can I mess with Job? And dude's like, just don't kill him. And so what is this council? And Psalm 82 talks about that as well. You know, and it mm-hmm. says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, he says. So he's apparently allowing among the gods, if you would, the Elohim, mm-hmm. which, the rulers, basically, the watchers, if you would, mm-hmm. He's letting them rule and reign with him because, you know, he's the chief judge. He's the most high God. Mm-hmm. And he's the chief judge. But then there's these other judges that are judging all of creation as well.
Okay, all right, that's fine, but that's not where I want to go. Okay,
I just wanted to lay that out. That's really important.
That's not my question. Okay, now we have talked about the Nephilim. I understand the Nephilim.
All right,
okay? Nephi. I got that.
Nephi the
but
Nephilim.
Now I got a new one for you, which, now I'm going to mispronounce it. Tell everybody in advance,
coffee?
I'm going to mispronounce it. Yeah, look at who's talking, is right. Rephaim.
Rephaim.
Rephaim and Rephites. What's that?
Yeah. The Rephaim. Basically, it's the dead.
Okay.
So if you see like the term the dead, they didn't really know how to do it.
I'm looking at this and you know, what it's referencing here for me, David, is Deuteronomy 2. Verse 11, and then it references Joshua 12, verse 4.
All right, so let me see. 2:11, which were accounted giants, the Anakim, the Moabites, and the Memes. Okay, so those they're Rapha. So that is not the word Nephilim that we have, but in mm-hmm. the when they translated it, they just used the same word, I believe in the Latin, gigantes. But the Nephil, or the fallen ones, Nephilim, that was the original one in Genesis chapter 6. Now, in Deuteronomy, he says, which were also accounted giants in the King James. Let's see what other versions have. Anakim regarded as the Rephaim. Yeah, so the New American says Rephaim. The root word is Rapha. Yeah. So it is a giant, but it comes from another root.
Does that have anything to do with Rapha in Israel? You know, where they got that Rapha crossing territory, or whatever? Yeah. Okay.
And they were cured. But basically, it was like the land of the dead.
Okay. Well, I know that...
but they were made fresh, regarded as Rapha anyway.
I'm sure you're going to get there at some point. But in Exodus, which, by the way, is not on my list over here.
Good.
But in I believe it's Exodus. I'm pretty sure. They are talking about... going into the promised land the first time. Okay. And they go, they send scouts.
Yep.
Okay. They're supposed to be, I'm assuming, pretty brave guys. So they go in and they look around this land that God has told them to take. Mm-hmm. And they come back and report to Moses and say, oh man, they got giants. These things are, you know, they're huge people. There's a whole bunch of them, and they will just beat us to death, and we're not going. Mm-hmm. Well, that caused what, the 40 year travel, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, technically it was 38, but 30, okay. Yeah, it didn't let them in. He actually said, okay, all of you except for Joshua and Caleb, you all suck, and you ain't going in.
Right.
So that's the story. He had to wait until they all died. Mm-hmm. That generation.
And Moses got to see it, but he didn't get to participate because he...
Yeah, Moses, he looked at it from over the hill. Yeah. Hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was a flat earther. He said, look, I can still see it. All right. So, where was that in Exodus again? You got the verse?
I do not, but I'll look it up while you're talking. I'll look it up.
So they're going in, and now... Here's the deal. So the Lord told Abraham, listen, you're going to inherit this land, but for the next 400 years, I'm going to have you, you know, basically you're going to be in an incubator over there in Egypt. Okay. So in a funny kind of way, Egypt kind of let them grow into a huge nation. And then when the time came, they were ready to call them out and then bring them into the land. Well, you know, the Satan heard this, and he had 400 years to lay down the minefield. So now you got Canaan, and you got all the giants are over there, the Anakim, and you see all these things. The Moabites, they were there too. Mm-hmm. But you also see Og of Bashan, and the Anunnaki were there, but that's the Anakim here. And it was different races.
That was on my list. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different races that were there, and they were all different races of giants. Mm.
And it wasn't Exodus, by the way. It turned out to be Numbers, believe it or not.
Yeah, I was like,
it's Numbers 14. Yeah.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
The Bible will really mess you up in a situation like that, okay? Because, you know, Exodus really talks about them getting kicked out of, you know, Egypt and all that other kind of stuff, or leaving Egypt. And so I just assumed, bad choice, that it was right there, and it wasn't. So, but I knew it was in the Bible, and I know how to find it, so there you go.
I knew it was there. So when they came back, there were 10 of them. Where they were scared. They're like, we're like grasshoppers, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And God's like, no, this is a land. So they've seen all these different things that the Lord has done this whole time. And it wasn't like, hey, these guys are weak, and you know, he was mad at them for that. But what he was mad at is they literally are going through there, and it for 38 years they didn't have to get new shoes. He fed them every day. Mm-hmm. And he says, how long am I going to deal with these people? They, every single day, uh-huh. For the last almost four decades, I've taken care of these people, and then they come out and they doubt me.
Yeah.
That was the real problem.
And complained about wasn't the food, too. Yeah, they complained about the food, too, remember?
Yep.
That was a bad choice.
So, what's this? It's the food I'm giving you to live. And how about all of this water? Look, it just hit the rock, and the water will come out.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Now, that brings up a point before I forget it. I was taught that the reason that Moses wasn't able to go into the promised land is because he hit the rock twice.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, he told him to hit it once. He says, I'm not mad at these people. I just wanted you to hit the rock so the water came out. Okay. But Moses was mad at him, so he did it twice. And it was kind of symbolic of Jesus having to be crucified twice. Because he had to strike the rock. But no, if the rock was struck once and then all the water flowed, and that's the age of grace we're in now. Mm-hmm. The rock, which is Christ, was struck and beaten and bruised for our iniquities, and then the water flowed. He's like, why are you hitting it again?
Right. Okay. All right. I just wanted to clear that up. I'm sorry, but I only heard that one time, and I wanted to clarify it.
Yeah, and then the people do that today. I mean, it's prevalent in the Catholic Church. They want, you got to crucify Christ every time you go into church, almost. It's like, whoa, time out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even some people like, oh, woe is me, and they're asking God if they can do this, if he can do this or he could do that. And he's like, I already did it.
Right.
What you need to do is now walk in what I've already done. Mm-hmm. So that's he was literally not allowed to go into the promised land because of that.
Okay. All right, well, let's get back to the Giants. I'm sorry to take you off
the
track
giants.
There for a while, but I'm worried to know about them guys with the rifle or whatever they were.
It's actually in 13. Now, they went out, and here we work 40 days again, right? And when they returned from spying the land at the end of 40 days, I'm in Numbers 13:25, not Exodus. They proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh. So Moses and Aaron, they had a bunch of counsel as well.
Yeah.
And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And that was, imagine the fruit of the land. Because the giants lived there. And he told them, we went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. So there you go. There they are, the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Megabites, the Gigabites.
All the people that God told them to take care of, and had they taken care of it, things would have worked out a little better. But I'm looking here in Numbers 13, 32 and 33, and I'm not sure which version I'm looking at, to be honest with you, but it says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come before the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.
Yep.
Okay.
So were we in their sight. So they thought they were grasshoppers too.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine how big someone has to be to look at you as if you were a grasshopper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, even if that's metaphorical, the point is that's huge.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Then, so they were terrified, but again, it's not because, oh, goodness gracious, there they are, they're big. That's a standard reaction. The problem was they didn't trust God.
Right.
Despite the fact that these things were huge, and they didn't listen to the stories they heard from Noah's time.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, if we know that story, then they know that story.
Right.
Because Enoch lived before that, and he wrote the story down. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. So it's the doubt and not trusting God that was really upsetting him. He's like, well, why am I dealing with these people?
Well, I can understand him being afraid. Okay. I mean, I'd be afraid too if somebody was like 30 times taller than me. but God told him to go get it. You know, he told him, you know, basically yep. he said, I'm going to take care of you. You go in there and do it. And I look at it as a refusal by them to believe in God. And
yep.
they were more interested in, like we are today in the world today, and more interested in our own personal and family safety and get along, you know, go along to get along with everybody instead of following mm-hmm. what God tells you to do. It's basically the same now as it was then, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, it's just people are the same all mm-hmm. through it. I like in the next, when you get into 14 and verse 6, it says, Joshua, the son of Nun. Nun is a letter, actually, and it means a seed. And that's interesting because Joshua is, you know, the Hebrew word. That's Jesus, actually, the son of the seed. Because that's the letter Nun, and it literally is a seed. So I don't think I've ever heard anyone teach on that, but the Lord showed me that one day. So that's in my repertoire of things I got to write about. Okay. Here's Jesus, the seed, basically. Mm-hmm. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So I got to figure out what that means because they were together. Mm-hmm. Of those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Now, why'd they tore their clothes there? Because they were really upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tearing the clothes thing. You know, I've read that several times. Priests do that a lot, or not priests, but you know what I'm talking about. They just tear their clothes all the time, and it's like the ultimate of something. But I don't.
It's making a really powerful point in mm-hmm. one way or another.
Okay.
That I don't agree with you that mm-hmm. I'm going to take these clothes off because you've dirtied them.
Yeah. Okay.
That kind of a thing. And they spoke to all the congregations of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey.
There it is right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they tried to stone them. But there you go. They trusted the Lord. They're like, mm-hmm. don't worry about them. The Lord's mm-hmm. with us, and he removed their protection. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a cakewalk. Mm-hmm. Those are giants in the land there, too. So you can't mm-hmm. say they're just in Genesis.
No. I mean, I'm looking... in Deuteronomy, that too was considered a land of the Rephathites or whatever you call them.
Rephaim.
Yeah, but the Ammonites call them Zamzumites.
Zamzumites?
Yeah.
Zamzumine, by the way.
They were people strong and numerous, as tall as the Anakites. The Lord destroyed mm-hmm. them before the Ammonites, who drove them mm-hmm. out and settled in their place. Then there's Og. We talked about him last week. Let's see, his bed was decorated with iron, more than 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide.
It was Og.
His bed was about 13.5 feet long, according to
this. Okay. So that's bed's a big 13 bed. Feet. He's got to be 12. So he was a small guy.
He was a small giant. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, but then that's in Deuteronomy 3:11. It says Og, the king of Bashan, mm-hmm. remained of the remnant of the giants. So it's mm-hmm. basically him. He was the only one left. Only Og remained. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he had a 13-foot bed.
Yeah. So he was the last of the Rephaites. Is that right? How do you say that, David? You're laughing at me again.
The Rabbah, yeah, there's a little. I don't know which one you got. You're kind of mixing them all together.
Well, I'm in Deuteronomy 3:11.
Rephaim, remember the giants. The Rabbah. Rabbathaim, maybe? I don't know.
It's spelled Rephaites in whatever version I'm looking
Rephaites.
At.
Rephaites. Okay. Yeah, or the Rephaim.
Yeah. So he was the last of them. Does that mean that he was also the last of the giants per se, or is that what you're saying?
Well, that particular race of giants, yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, we hadn't,
we obviously have Goliath that comes up later.
Yeah, I was going to say, we hadn't even really talked about him much yet, but he's on the list here, too. We'll get there. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that. Mm-hmm. So there, we'll take him out of the picture. I got to close out all these different tabs because there's just so many giants. They're all over the place.
People, it's like, crazy, yeah. I mean, people say the giants aren't in there, and it's everywhere. Good grief. Yeah. Just look
at
it. Say,
oh, well, you only mentioned them being in one spot. No. Okay, Goliath. Now, he in 1 Samuel 17:4, there was a champion. We all know the story. His name was Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Okay?
Which they translate here as 9 feet and 9 inches.
Yeah, so a span is this, from here to here.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So today it's 8 inches. Back then it was like 9. A cubit is from here,
from your elbow
to the tip of your finger,
yeah,
which is the small cubit, because they had different ones at different times. Because obviously, if you're bigger, it's going to be a little bigger, but it was just a quick measurement. Smallest one's 18 inches. So if he's 6 cubits, that's 9 feet. Mm-hmm. And then a span would be that 8 or 9 inches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you use a 24-inch cubit, then he was even bigger. But I would say that 9 feet 8 is plenty big enough
that
for me.
That would suffice. Yeah, I think that would work just fine.
Mm-hmm. And there is talk about that's what Golgotha is, Goliath of Gath, or the Hill of the Skull, because that's where David buried Goliath's skull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were out there too. So that's a good tangent to get onto. You know, first of all, here's a trick question. See, I warned you ahead of time. Okay. How did David kill Goliath?
Cut his head off.
Ah, okay, good one. Most of the time, people will say, with the sling and the stone.
That just knocked him down. That didn't kill him.
Yeah, that kind of just split his head open and
knocked him out. I don't know. But
now, that normally would be sufficient to kill someone. You know, you crack their skull in half.
Mm-hmm.
But the giants were something different. The giants, they're, because of their DNA, would actually regenerate.
Okay.
And you see all the myths especially in the Greek stuff. You got to cut their head off.
Yeah.
And that's the only way, because if their head's still connected to their body, it will regenerate, which is precisely why David went and cut his head off and then carried it around.
I wonder if that's why even today that Muslims do that. You know, the beheading stuff. It's same principle, or you know, same theme.
Yeah, that,
or
it was whatever. Born out of that. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why he cut his head off and paraded it around. That was the only way to prove that you really killed somebody.
And then he
buried it over on. And people love the word Calvary. Oh, Calvary! It's such a nice word. That means skull.
Yeah,
so I go to the Church of the Skull down the street. Skull Chapel, man. We call it. Where do you go to church? Skull Chapel. You want to go? Whoa.
No. I'm going to have to ask Jack Hibbs about that. Hey, Pastor, do you realize?
I'm sure he knows, but.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Calvary Chapel sounds so much nicer than Skull Chapel. I like that better. I'm just going to name a church Skull. I'm going to start a church just so I can call it Skull Chapel.
Why not?
All right. I think, we'll get into this in the second half, too.
Okay.
But who are these sons of God?
Yeah.
That he talks about. What does that mean? So that's going to be an interesting topic.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the back. So let me see.
I do know that some of them, some people think that's the angels.
Benaiha Elohim.
Yeah. But, I mean, that is a subject in itself, really.
Mm-hmm.
That gets kind of crazy. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
So we got 3 minutes left in the first half. Let's touch on Enoch.
Okay.
In chapter 6, it says, you know, it retells the story, but it tells it with more detail. And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied in those days and were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters, and the angels the children of heaven saw and lusted after them and said to one another, come, let us choose of the wives of the children of men and beget us children. Mm-hmm. And Semjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay for the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath and bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. So they all swore on it, and then he names them, and they all come down on Mount Hermon. We talked mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. And they took themselves wives, each one, in chapter 7. These are small chapters in this section in Enoch. Mm-hmm. And they began to go in and defile themselves with them. Okay, so this wasn't a good thing. It's not like they're like, hey, you know, let's get married. They literally took the woman and raped them. And then they taught them charms and enchantments. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the cutting of roots, all this witchcraft stuff, and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells. Mm. All right, so there's some debate on what the ells were, mm-hmm. how big they were, and then also how many there were. Because some people mm-hmm. say, no, it says 300, not 3,000 ells. Then there's the other side of this. But it literally says height, but some people say, well, there were three races. Well, there were three races of main races of giants before mm-hmm. the flood, but this mm-hmm. says his height was 3,000 ells, so this doesn't apply to the races.
What gets me, though, David, and we'll get into all this better in the second half of the show, but I notice there in Enoch, it calls it a sin. In other words, angels knew it was a bad thing.
Oh yeah,
they were preparing. But that is that the first time that we see outside of the Garden of Eden, you know, the angels talking about sin. I don't remember the angels talking about sin anywhere else except right here.
The angels. Yeah. I don't know about the angels. I know in the day that you eat thereof,
the watchers or whatever these things are. You know? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So we're gonna get into this and more exciting things in the second half. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, just in case we're raptured in the break here, I would suggest that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior if you haven't already. And if you mm-hmm. have, just praise Him right now until we come back.
Lord and Jesus, Lord willing, come quickly.
Yeah, Maranatha. We'll see you guys in the second half. God bless.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And here we are. We made it back. Hey, JD, I would suggest that maybe we bind ourselves by mutual imprecations to finish this teaching on the giant.
Mm. Yep, I agree with you. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You're going. You go.
Yeah, this is going to be fun because that's what they did. So let's do it to reverse that. Michael Heiser's got that book, Reversing Hermann. It's actually a pretty good book. And he talks about a lot of this stuff. They came down on Mount Hermon, and that's what Jesus did to come and reverse that. And those were the sons of God, you know. Now, clearly, the main reason I wanted to do this is it says the angels, the children of heaven, in Enoch chapter 6. So that's crystal clear to say, well, this isn't, you know, the sons of Seth. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And it even names them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
You know, and this, and then we just saw in Psalm 82, there was a great council. Okay. And then in Job chapter 1, he talks about, hey, when they were all gathered at the council meeting, and then Satan came in among them, and then he had a question. And so we see that this is all over the place. Now, the term the sons of God is B'nai Ha Elohim, okay, or B'nai, it depends on who you ask, and my Hebrew teachers will correct me all the time. So so that's good. But it literally means, in the vernacular, it literally means a direct creation of God, because we think sons and it's this. But a son could be someone who is like not your direct offspring, necessarily, but someone who follows, like your protege, okay? Because, you know, Jesus called the Pharisees, hey, you're of your father, the devil. And you're, so, well, what's that? They were sons of the devil. It means basically they were following after him. So they begat children. That was different. To beget would literally mean to have a direct offspring. But the son would be something else. So in this, the way it's written, it's a direct creation of God, B'nai Ha Elohim. So when we see Adam is a direct creation of God. He picked him up and he formed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the angels are direct creation of God. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes.
Because no one else had them. They didn't have babies.
Yeah, no father, no mother created.
That's right. Now, the rest of us, we are B'nai Ha Adam, sons of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where we are as a human race. And I want to jump over to Enoch chapter 15, and this is all going to tie together. I'm going to give you a few different puzzle pieces, and then you'll see how they all fit. So Enoch 15, this ties in with, you said, hey, they knew it was wrong, right? Okay, they knew it was wrong, and why it was wrong, but it also talks about the difference between the angels and the direct creations of God. So he says, and he answered to me and said to me, I heard his voice, fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice, and go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent you to intercede for them. So this is what happened in chapter 14. The most holy ones were nigh and did not leave him, but until then had been prostrate on my face. So Enoch's praying. Lord calls him. One of the holy ones in the last verse came to me and woke me up. And he made me rise up and approach the door and bowed my face downwards. So he's talking about the watchers came to Enoch, mm-hmm. and they're like, they knew they fell, because we just read back in chapter 6 and onward, you'll see that they bound themselves by mutual imprecations, and they were all going to face the judgment together, and they, mm-hmm. they agreed to that. Mm-hmm. But now they're like, oh boy, what did we do? So they had the giants, they had their babies with the women that they raped, mm-hmm. And they couldn't get back into heaven. So they ask mm-hmm. Enoch, hey, listen, you talk to God all the time. That's where we're at. The watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them. Mm-hmm. And he told Enoch, you should intercede for men and not men for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he told him to tell the watchers. So Enoch, go back and tell them, because God's not even going to talk to them. He says, mm-hmm. go back and tell them you were supposed to intercede for men and not men for you. So they knew they left it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wherefore have ye left the high, holy, and eternal heaven? So that's where we get, I think it was Jude talks about the angels leaving their first estate. Mm-hmm. This is what he's talking about right here. He's quoting Enoch. You have left the high, holy, and eternal heaven and lain with women and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men and taken to yourself wives and done like the children of the earth and begotten giants as your sons. Mm-hmm. He said, why did you do that? Why did you leave heaven? Why did you rape the women and have babies? Mm-hmm. You were not supposed to do that. You left your place, in the Greek it's oikaterion, their first estate. This was their realm that they were supposed to live in, but they left that realm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, this is angels. It's not the sons of Seth, because it wouldn't say you left the high holy heaven, because that's not where they were. And you acted like men, the mm-hmm. children of the earth, and you've done like the children of the earth. So here he's telling, I want you to follow this. This is why I'm going a little slower. He's telling the angels, you left heaven and you came down, you acted like a man, mm-hmm. but you stole their wives, and this is what you did. This is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Why is this a bad thing? Okay, verse 4. And though you were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women and begotten children with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do who die and perish. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you left the eternal heaven and you entered into the land that dies and perishes. Therefore, I have given them wives, so they might impregnate them and beget children of them, that thus nothing might be wanting from them on the earth. Because men die and perish, that's why he gave us wives, to have children to continue our posterity. Mm-hmm. This is what Enoch is saying. Okay? Or this is what the book of Enoch is saying. Mm-hmm. That he sent mm-hmm. them down to tell them this. You weren't supposed to do that. Men get wives because they die.
Okay, now wait, hold on. I said we're going to, but I got to. Mm-hmm. Satan, okay, I know he's the bad guy, okay, the ultimate bad guy mm-hmm. here. Was this all his idea, or is this these fallen ones or whatever? There's some pretty bad dudes too. Mm-hmm. So are they coming up with this stuff on their own, or is Satan telling them this is what you got to do, or do we even know?
Right. Well, we don't have an exact name for Satan. We just have mm-hmm. titles.
Okay.
Satan is, Hasatan. And then he's also the accuser. He's the Antichrist. He's Lucifer, because he was the bright and shining one. He was the mm-hmm. light one. The devil. Okay, so there's lots of different terms we use for him, but there's still conjecture about what his name was. There are those who think that he was Semjaza that we see here, or Manasta, that actually had names. Really good reason to believe that he was the Hupa, the covering angel, and he covered mm-hmm. the throne. Right. So he was the highest of the archangels, if you would, because he was the throne cover to protect mm-hmm. God. And he sang his praises because... by the language, it looks like he had basically pipes for lungs, like a big organ, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Right.
And when he spoke, it would just be beautiful music coming out. But all of this went to his head.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was remarkably, incredibly beautiful in all ways. And then it just went, boom, like that. Why don't they praise me? Because I'm so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that was it. And he mm-hmm. became the same amount of ugly on the other side.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. So, but keep that in mind. This is why it says, and when Jesus talks about, remember when the Pharisees came up and they tried to trick him?
Oh,
we
yeah.
talked about this. Mm-hmm. When sure. he married the one woman, married a brother, he died, so she had to marry his brother, and he died, and seven of them died along the mm-hmm. way, and they're like, oh, we got him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you don't know the scripture.
Right.
It's literally what Jesus says. You don't know the scripture, and you err. He says, because men, when they get to heaven, will be like the angels, and they won't be marrying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where is that in the Old Testament? Hint, it's not.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, it's just not there. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not in the Old Testament about once we get to heaven, we'll be like the angels, not marrying or given in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is right here in Enoch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Jesus himself said, you don't know the scripture. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, it kind of tells you that at one time or another, it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So at one point, and so you got to ask yourself, is this the scripture that Jesus is quoting from?
Mm-hmm.
And there's several other places that are like that, but you just got to find them. And mm-hmm. this is one of them. Another one, it says there's one greater than Solomon comes here. And it's like, what does that mean? Wait a minute. Time out. But you got to be careful not to get into Gnostic stuff with that. That's why
right.
he told us, listen, just here's the crux of it. Just learn this. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read
most
some
people
of that.
Go off the deep end with it.
I
stuff.
Read but some of that one time, and I was reading it, and everything was looking okay right up until the point Jesus was throwing somebody off the roof and killing them and bringing them back to life. And I said, no, uh-uh.
Oh, he's like, again, hey, watch this.
Never again will I read that.
Or when he crushed the bird. That was crazy. Look, he's crushed the bird so he can bring it back to life. It's like, no, he didn't.
No, not mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah, you really got to watch out for that stuff. But mm-hmm. that's what Satan does. He throws all that in there to try and confuse everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
mm-hmm.
it's, listen, get the Bible deep down in your heart and your spirit first so you can
discern it.
Weed out the garbage.
Absolutely.
When there's other stuff. But there is other stuff that we are to look at. And right here, this gives us tremendous insight.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life and immortal for all generations of the world. And therefore, I have not appointed wives for you, for as the spiritual ones of heaven, in heaven is their dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's precisely what Jesus was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, oh, the demons come, and then I say, well, a demon is not a fallen angel, this is where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're called the evil spirits. So where there's an evil spirit, and that the key phrase is upon the earth, and the earth shall be their dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
So demons are not allowed to leave the earth, and they have their half, it says right here, spirits and flesh. They're half flesh, half mm-hmm. spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they can putz around in a spirit world, but they need a body to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why this is important. This is why we see the book of Revelation. Why are all these things coming out of the abyss? Why are they trying to mess with our DNA now?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they trying to kill off most men to see which ones are going to live through this? Because they need the most robust people, because they want to take over their bodies, just mm-hmm. like they did before the flood. They want to create these hybrids. You know, hey, let's put a duck and a horse together. We'll see
mm-hmm.
what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Let's try this. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get centaurs and minotaurs and mermaids and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where they came from, because they were trying to mess with the DNA to see what else they can come up with, because they wanted their offspring to have bodies to inhabit, because mm-hmm. they're half spirit, half flesh, and these are the evil spirits on the earth. So when you see demons inhabiting things in the New Testament, And Jesus is casting them out and teaches his disciples, hey, I give you power over these things too now. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. Fallen angels don't need a body.
Well, one thing, David, that also jumped out at me all my life, really, because it was never taught in church, of course, is, okay, God is, he's willing to forgive us of all of our sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just accept Jesus Christ and follow him. But my question was, okay, the devil screwed up, so why didn't God forgive him? Well, this answers that question. And mm-hmm. again, it's not, is not taught in churches to my knowledge.
For the
anyway.
Most part, yeah, they don't understand it. They're already in the eternal realm. Mm-hmm. It says, right, you are spiritual, living the eternal life, and mm-hmm. you left it. So there is no forgiveness for them. And there is no forgiveness for these evil spirits because they were never supposed to exist. Half spirit, half flesh, these hybrids, they weren't in the plan, if you would. Mm-hmm. There is no salvation for them. Matter of fact, in Enoch 15:9, we'll continue on, mm-hmm. evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on the earth, and evil spirits they shall be called. Mm-hmm. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of these giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and do work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. Mm-hmm. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. Mm-hmm. That answers a lot of questions for a lot of people.
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they're half-breeds, and mm-hmm. they weren't supposed to exist, mm-hmm. which is why the mark of the beast, when you look at it, you know, and the number is 666, and six, not 666.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is a sexadecimal numerical system, which is much more efficient than the one we use with the 5 base, and they got a mm-hmm. 6 base. There's so much more you can do with that mathematical system, and that's what they do. So I suspect that will be used in the quantum computing that they're all talking about now, because mm-hmm. that if you're going to get quarks that reach into other dimensions in these quantum computers, you're going to need a sexadecimal math system mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. figure it all out, you know? And so that just makes sense. Now you're looking at it and say, hey, who can calculate the number of the name? Because it's a 600 base. Look at the math, and you learn this. This looks sexadecimal. 60 and 6. That's why mm-hmm. we have, you know, the 360 in the clock. It's a 60 mm-hmm. base. Everything's a 60 base. So 60 minutes is 60 mm-hmm. degrees, 360 mm-hmm. this. There's 360 days in the original year. Mm-hmm. It was all there. It's all trying to hijack God's original plan and get back to this. So that's all fun and exciting. So here's something really cool, and I like this better. They're B'nai Ha Elohim, which is the direct creations of God, the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens to us when we become born again?
We become a new creation.
We are a new creation.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So old things are passed away, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Old things are made new. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. And check this out. You never really think about this in what I'm about to say. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the world knows us not because it did not know him.
Right.
That takes on a lot more meaning.
Yes, it does.
Because now we are B'nai Ha Elohim, mm-hmm. or direct creations of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A new creature in Christ is something that the angels long to look in for, because this is a brand new creature, a mm-hmm. direct creature from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are when we're born again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Born from above. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It just
no, no, because we still have the old nature in our bodies.
We just got born.
Our spirits are new. So now, okay, great. Let's walk this out. Let's get this done with. And then when the time comes, when it's time to consummate that contract, okay, this contract says you have this now. You are a B'nai Ha Elohim, a direct creation, a direct son of God. This is in your contract, but you got to grow up. Okay, and then there'll be that time, like the bar mitzvah, right? Okay, here's the time. Today is the day that you are going to be a man. And that's the whole picture of the bar mitzvah. Okay, there's going to be that one day when we graduate and shed these old bodies and become fully and take ownership 100% of this sons of God status and our new bodies and, you know, complete with new hips and everything.
Right. Well, you know, there's a place there in the Bible, again, where it speaks of as a new Christian or whatever, that you are basically you're nursing like a baby, that you're getting milk. And, you know, as you grow up or whatever, then you can move on to solid food. Now, I know I put, I summarized a lot of that, I know, but you kind of get where I'm going, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we see that a lot in the New Testament, and people don't realize that is literally a contract where he says, okay, now there's so many things. He's redeemed us, so he literally purchased us. We're his bride. We're joint heirs with Christ. It's literally like he pulled us out of his side and said, look, I'm going to make you in my image and after my likeness because I want someone to hang out with. And that's what he loved. So for someone, you know, if you're out there and you're wondering, oh, does God love me? Yeah, that's why he made you. Okay. You know, sinning wherewithal. He's not mad at you for sinning. He's sad, which is why he came back and said, hey, let me fix that. Okay. Because he loves you. And now you don't have to do that anymore. So for someone to be mad at God, oh, yeah, you're sky fairy. Yeah. Okay. Call him what you want. However, when you get before the throne, you're going to have a problem because that's all you're going to know. There is nothing else besides him. And he says, I made you so I can spend eternity with you. And you are choosing not to right now. You already chose. All right. That's done. You're literally going to be without him. Right. And that's
awful.
A horrible thought.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
Okay. So in verse 2, it says, beloved, now that we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what I was saying. So yes, it's not culminated yet, because we're still in these bodies. For some of our friends who have gone home already, they're up there going, okay, when I get the new body, and they're all waiting around the throne, praising the Lord, having a party, waiting for the wedding. Okay, and then there's even, because of the time flux thing, there's a conjecture that we might actually all get before the throne at the same instant, no matter who died through history.
How does that work? You know?
Because it's outside of time and space.
Okay, simple enough.
So, So, and, you know, it's just a place we don't understand, but we can understand that they can all converge into one point. We at least get that part. So that's a possibility, at least. So I don't know, you know, we say, oh, I'm talking to my mom who's in heaven. Well, number one, I don't know if she is. Number two, if she is, she's probably not at all interested in talking with you because there's a lot more wonderful things to do. And if you're going to heaven, then she's like, yeah, they'll be here soon. I'm not worried about it. Or we all get there at the exact same instant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see that stuff, David, all the time about so-and-so's looking down on me. And Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Every time I hear it, I say, no, that's not true. You know, but I don't, it sounds good, but, that's your tickle your ears scripture. You know, it sounds good, but it's not doctrine at all. Nothing. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So here we are now. The Bible says we will judge angels, correct? All right. So now look at this big picture. If you don't understand who these fallen watchers were and get information from Enoch and from Jubilees, we didn't even get into Jubilees.
No, we haven't.
The you understand that he's in the council of the mighty, mm-hmm. because we saw that in Psalm 82. We see it in Job. So they're ruling and reigning with him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we join with Christ and we're the bride and we rule and reign together with him. We are in a higher position than those angels, mm-hmm. but he does not yet appear, but we shall be like him when he does appear. Mm-hmm. So this is our destination. It's already written in a contract. It's already done. It's not manifest yet, because mm-hmm. just like a wedding, back in that day, if you sign that, when you took the cup, you know, he says, take this cup. It's a new covenant. Mm-hmm. You drank that, you're married. Mm-hmm. Even though the wedding's not for a couple of years, mm-hmm. you're married.
Right.
All right. And so don't go messing around.
Yeah.
And that's what it is now. You accepted Christ. You are married to Christ. And now we're just waiting for the wedding to manifest all of these things. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
In his full quantum state.
Yeah. Because yeah, not even Moses could see God. He said, I'm going to let you see the back.
Yeah. And then he glowed in the dark.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, put this sack over your head. You glow too much.
Oh, man. That was a heck of a request. He didn't know what kind of request he was making there, yeah. But that was a big one.
You sure? You sure you want to do that? Yeah. All right. They didn't warn you.
That's great. David, before we run out of time, because we are going to get into this, there's going to be a third edition of this, I can tell you right now.
100%.
Probably. There may be more than that. But anyway, we're going to get into it again next week. But I wanted to leave you significant time today to talk about the discipleship study every Thursday evening. And a little bit about your site, too, because you really haven't ever gone into the Hidden Day that much. And I think people deserve to do it and get over there and take a look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. I mean, the Hidden Day was because that's the next feast day to be fulfilled by Jesus, Yom HaKaseh, and that means the day of the hiding. It's also known as Yom Teruah, the day of blowing trumpets, or what's known nowadays as Rosh Hashanah, or the head of the year, or in New York, we call it Rosh Ahoma, because they all got to get home before sundown.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So that's what we call it. But that's the next feast day to be fulfilled. So when Jesus returns for Israel. Now, the church has a different day in store. I believe that is a good possibility. It could be on Pentecost and or, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah or the Day of the Hiding. So that's basically what I tease. Now, there's a few things. You can find the Rumble channel, which I would recommend on there. YouTube is still up, but we don't put as much on YouTube because it's YouTube. Mm-hmm. We do put all the teachings on Rumble. You can find the channels over there. But we have Thursday nights. We really dig into this, and everybody can join in. Mm-hmm. So join us on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. There's a little button on there that says discipleship study. All you gotta do is press it, and if you're nice, we let you in, and then we all talk about these things and we drink this nice coffee too. The news, the on the book coming out, we're working on it. We really want to get it straight. There will also be corresponding teachings on generational contracts that are coming out, and I'm putting them together now, so that's going to be good. And we're going to have a workshop that goes around it too, because it's very, very powerful knowing what that contract is. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next show. You guys have a blessed day. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.